Catch up with our buddy PJ Carlissimo later in the hour as well. Raptors taking on Philly tonight. And the Sixers are a 2-point favorite last time I checked, which I think makes sense. If you're in Vegas, you're expecting Philly, a good team, to bounce back based on a couple of nights ago. But we'll see. We'll see what happens.
2-point favorite, Hazy. Hayes Casino. You know what that means to me?
You hammer the dog. You love the Raptors tonight.
Dude, especially if they're playing without Lowry. They're 6-0 without Lowry.
You guys make me sick. You're like degenerate gamblers. Like to actually know what he was talking about when he said, "Do you know what that means?" And you're like, "Hammer the dog." That's disgusting,
dude. That's disgusting. Phillies. Okay, I'm gonna put it into simple terms
for you. Pete Rose. What?
Philadelphia is the best team in the Eastern Conference. They're playing at home, and they're only 2-point favorites against the number 5 seed in the conference.
Hey,
Vegas
Carlos,
is telling you something. Hey, they're telling you.
Coco, do you know why guys lose their asses? Because dummies like you and Hayes talk like that in the basement, and they get on their computer, and they bet their life away, and they lose.
Well, we're not talking about anything stupid like that or ridiculous like that. We're just sniffing out a line that I'm with you, man. I'm seeing some weird trends here. All right, let's bring in our TSN MLB analyst, Steve Phillips. What's happening, Steve?
Not much. What, Carlo overslept this morning, so they figured they get their money's worth today, prim on the afternoon.
Right, we can't get rid of this guy.
Steve,
like
I knew you were coming on. That's why I said, get me on the show.
Hey, listen, I tell you what I learned from today, hammer the dog.
Yep,
I'm all over that now. That's my phrase of the day right there. That's a good one.
The dogs are barking tonight. We love
Steve,
the Raptors.
In your time as a GM, did you ever see weird stuff happening, like weird guys hanging around wanting to know about injuries, any kind of goofy stuff like that?
So here's the thing, that if you didn't see those guys hanging around, you were that guy. So maybe that was me. Listen, there's all kinds of, baseball's really particular. Aside from Pete Rose and the Black Sox scandal, I think they've done a pretty good job of handling that. But, we would have to read in front of the players, before every season, baseball rule 21. It's posted in every major league, minor league clubhouse. They would have to sign a document saying that they heard it and that they understand it, because baseball took, the gambling side of things from the player's perspective very seriously. And obviously, Pete Rose, a bit of a black guy for a lot of the game with what took place, and go back to the Black Sox scandal. So it's something that is very, very, and they teach players coming up and at the rookie development program about the people, sketchy people that might be hanging around wanting to know about injuries and who's doing what, and who's playing what, and who's hurt, and who can't do this, and who's a little bit sore pitching, and because it would impact the overall betting line. And so I think that baseball's made players very aware of that entire process.
Yeah, we're at a weird transition stage right now, aren't we, Steve, with where legalized gambling is going, and a lot of different states are legalizing it. I saw that this past year, I believe Jersey had more money pour into the state based on sports gambling than Nevada. That's obviously never been available before, but they're blowing past Nevada, and all of a sudden Jersey is there, and I think New York is not far behind. That's coming up here. The Canadian federal government just passed legislation. Single-game betting is coming. It's going to be here, and there's going to be an explosion. And, Rob Manfred's not a dummy. He understands that, you want the integrity of the sport. You got to hammer it home, but you're also in a business here, and you want to make money, and there's a lot of money to be made in the gambling world. So how are they going to juggle the two?
Yeah, I think that I think all of the commissioners in professional sports have realized that if you can't beat them, join them. And so, if it's going to happen and it's inevitable that it does, then you might as well get your piece of the pie. And I think that's where they're going. Quite honestly, you could see such interactive gambling at games from pitch to pitch. What's this next pitch, ball or strike? And you could see the all of the prop bets going, throughout the course of games. And there's all kinds of websites now that have how, the percentage win chance of a team winning from this point on is this percentage. And you could create wagers off of that. And so you're right. Look, it's coming. And Rob Manfred, like the other commissioners, is getting out in front of it. The thing that's interesting is lineups lineups go through, I think it's the deal they made with MGM. They get the lineup first.
Right.
They get the lineup before they go out to everybody else.
Yep.
And obviously it's recognition of the necessity to get those out early, whether it's for, you know, the daily fantasy sports or just for people that are there in the sports book making a bet on the day.
Well, we're chatting with Steve Phillips, our TSN MLB and Jays analyst. So Bo Bichette was a story down at camp, you know, over the past 24 hours where he was open and honest. He said, I've heard the rumors. I heard they were in on Lindor. I heard they were in on a couple of other guys, and I want to play short. And he came on this show 3 or 4 months ago. We asked him about it, and he said, last time I talked to Ross, I was playing short, and that's where I intend on staying. I love the attitude. I love the moxie. But he's got to prove it. You know, the bat is what it is. I think that will continue. He's putting up big numbers. He's only played 75 games in the big leagues. But defensively, it's a work in progress here. You know, he's got to continue to work on some things and move in the right direction. What do you make of his comments, you know, addressing the elephant in the room about maybe a lack of security at short and what you hope to see out of Bo Bichette at that position this season?
Right. So I think I think he can play short. Now, I think he's got a chance to be a shortstop in many ways, probably like a Xander Bogaerts, really good offensive player whose defense, he's good on the balls that he gets to, but he's not necessarily going to have the best range. You know, the big question is, will his arm strength continue to play the older he gets? And will that be the ability to make the play from the hole? And he's fully capable right now. You know, young guys get better on defense. They know when to take chances. They know when to make the routine play. And if you can make the routine plays and have enough range to cover ground, and with positioning today, you know, that changes as well. Now, if they take away shifting and everything else, then that defense becomes that much more important because right now, you know, they tend to place you where they think the ball is going to be hit in anticipation of it. And so, you know, look, I love this kid. I think he is to the Blue Jays what Derek Jeter was to the Yankees. He's the face and voice of the organization. He's the guy to build around. Jeter made 50-some errors in the minor leagues in A-ball defensively at shortstop coming up, but got better because it's something that the more plays you make, the more comfortable you get, the more you experience every type of play, the more confident you're going to be. He can play an adequate shortstop. There's no question about that. The issue is, if you can get, within the marketplace, a premium defender, you know, then you might have to consider moving them. And I went through that. I had Edgardo Alfonso back when I was with the Mets, who was, you know, an all-star second baseman, and he liked second base. He just wanted to be at one position to play there. And then, the next thing you know, I had a chance to get Robbie Alomar. And I went to Alfonso, and he goes, all right, you know, listen, look, how are you going to say no for Robbie Alomar? He's a Hall of Famer, you know, and a Gold Glove second baseman. And so he, you know, he didn't really love it, but, you know, he went over there. And the whole idea is these guys all think they're better than each other, and that's what makes them great. But they also know they have to be team members, and I don't think Bichette's ever going to be a problem whenever it comes to it as long as they communicate properly.
Steve, you're talking about Bichette defensively. Brian and I would talk during Jays games, and we would talk about them defensively. And let's be honest, they weren't very good last year. Laughable sometimes. It was ridiculous, some of the stuff you saw. How does the team make the transformation into a solid defensive team? Is that just age with the young guys maturing? Or in your time in the game, what's a big factor in a team making a step towards being a solid defensive team? Because they need it. You watch the teams that go to the end of it. They're all solid defensively.
Right. So it's a great point. Now, not all infielders go from being adequate to great. And hard work can make you better, but either you have that ability to be great at that position or at a position or you don't. I think one of the keys is putting people in the right place. Put them in the right position. Not shifting, but is Vladimir Guerrero Jr. a third baseman, or is he a first baseman, or is he a DH? Your defense gets better when you have players playing the position that they should be and not playing out of position. Now, the left side of the infield with Bichette and Vlad Jr. Would worry me for left-handed pitchers on the mound, right? So you're going to get a lot of ground balls to the left side of the infield. I would say that the time that you would see Vlad Jr., if they play him at third base at all, is going to be against a strong left-handed hitting pull lineup where it's not going to come into play that much. You know, that's why sometimes you can put a guy, hide a guy in the outfield if you got a sinker ball pitcher on the mound. But you've got to, you can't play players out of position and expect to be good defensively. And there is something about moving players around, which they like their versatility, but you tend to move a player around because he's not great at one position. And you're right, you love the versatility, and you love a guy who's like Marwin Gonzalez was a guy who was really good no matter what position you played at. Typically, the guy who moves around is moving around because either his offense doesn't profile a very player or his defense doesn't. So, I look, Vlad at third is going to be troubling for me with Bichette at short. It's just not enough coverage on the left side of the infield. And so I suspect that they're going to probably leave Vlad at first for most of the year. He'll get some times there, but I think it's primarily going to be Biggio playing third base.
Steve, what was your reaction to the Seattle Mariners president's comments, Kevin Mather, in regards to some of the things he was very open and honest about, like the way his team made money last year, the way the baseball controls their young players? And then you hear guys like Josh Donaldson come out and just, you know, take the Twitter and say, you just said what everybody knew. Now us players have official evidence that is going to help a lot of players in the future. He resigns after his comments, but what do you make of the whole situation?
Yeah, so, you know, I think that I appreciate that players reacted the way that they did. But, you know, each case is going to be heard individually, and each team is going to make their own case if they don't call a guy up on opening day as to why the player stayed down in the minor leagues for a little bit longer, for whatever it is. And you know, the thing that always ends up on the club's favor is that there is no perfect time. Like, there's not a threshold that you reach with a player that says now he's a big leaguer. It's up to every team to make that decision. So, you know, all of it was ill-conceived, ill-thought. I mean, it was inappropriate, but it was also offensive. You know, going into, you know, he raved about Julio Rodriguez, one of their top young outfield prospects, and then he said, but his English isn't very good, in a critical way, and then, you know, complained about having to pay for an interpreter for Iwakuma that they had there before, too. And so it was appropriate for him to resign, and if he wasn't going to resign, he'd have been let go. He went on scorched earth. He offended everybody, which I guess is some part of it. But what I found most offensive and bizarre was his apology, where he said, my thoughts are my own, and they don't represent or reflect the baseball department or development of the system. You're the CEO and president of the team. Like, mm-hmm. He didn't say these aren't my thoughts. I said things that I don't really believe. He actually said, these are what I think. And effectively, he said his mistake was that he just said them out loud. That's horrible. Like, that's the bigger issue for me. It wasn't that he said things he didn't believe. He actually said what he believed, which was offensive. And so I think it was inevitable that he was going to be terminated. And now they've got some cleanup work to do there in a lot of ways in Seattle.
Yeah, big time. No, there's going to be some aftermath here. I don't think there's any disputing that. Always great catching up with you, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Thank you for this.
All right, Drew. Good to be with you. Don't let Carlo teach you any more bad habits.
No, we'll try to avoid that. we're making sure we take care of him, or he's taking care of us, whichever way you want to look at it. Thanks, buddy. There's
all
Steve
right,
Phillips, our MLB analyst. So, yeah, that's a Seattle story. We'll get into that a little bit later on, and him basically saying it publicly into a mic, and then to Steve's point, yeah, what are you going to do? It happens. Yeah. These are my thoughts. I don't represent the team. Well, you're out. I can't imagine you're going to get back in anytime soon.